This is Sunday Focus, a weekly public affairs program that looks at the topics affecting our society and the people who are making a change in the community each and every day. The people who have vision for the next generation. Sunday Focus presents new challenges for us, keeping you informed with topics of local and regional interest. Now the host of Sunday Focus, Christine Manica.
Hello and good morning. Welcome back to another edition of Sunday Focus. Call the Freedom. If you haven't heard, they are at the forefront of helping victims of sex and labor trafficking navigate a new path. It's not an easy journey, but the hope is through education, others can help those who are being trafficked in our area and state. We have been talking with the CEO and founder of Call the Freedom, Becky Rasmussen, about this amazing organization in a variety of segments. We have been talking to the survivors about their experiences and how the law connects with Call the Freedom and those they serve. But now once a victim comes forward and visits Call the Freedom, how do the volunteers help? How can the community be part of Call the Freedom's ever-growing mission? We have some special guests in the studio to talk about this and volunteering in the community and other ways to get involved with Call the Freedom. Welcome back, Becky Rasmussen, and hello to Matt, Sean, and Eden. Welcome, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, yes.
Excited to be here.
We have whole people.
You are not alone this morning.
No, we are not alone here. And Becky, as always, we enjoy having you here. It's really been a pleasure listening to survivor stories. We had South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley here, Judge Clapper on with us, and it's been a busy couple of weeks for you. So let's kind of recap. You just had the Call the Freedom breakfast at the convention center. How was it?
Yeah, we are humbled by this community. We are just so grateful for the support of our community. You know, human trafficking is one of those things that's very difficult to talk about. Some people want to help and some people want to shy away from hearing about it. But our community has been amazing. And I think our breakfast was a representation. It was a record-breaking attendance this year, which was phenomenal. And just the response that people have. You know, we shared a story at the breakfast that was a young girl who chose not to disclose. However, she was in the crowd to see how people reacted.
Oh.
And it was quite amazing. She was overwhelmed. And, you know, her response was, this community actually believes that this is happening. And I think that's the key to survivors doing well. And that's one of the beautiful things about our breakfast is that we're able to share their stories and communicate what's really happening within South Dakota and also right here in Sioux Falls.
Yeah, so that record-breaking attendance, just having some survivors in the audience, like you mentioned, what does that say about the community and the support for Call the Freedom? I was happy to be there, too.
It was so great to have you front and center.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You know what it says is that we're making progress. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a really new social injustice that needs a lot of education within our circles, judicial to first responders. But what it says is that the community is standing behind this. And so we are so grateful. Obviously, we needed financial support at mm-hmm. the breakfast, and we had a very large ask, and we're close. We still have about $150,000 to make our end goal, but we're very, very excited about the response of the community.
That's wonderful. You know, some people support Call the Freedom daily, and that's the wonderful volunteers. We have done many segments together, like we've been mentioning, and this is the first time we're actually talking about the volunteers with Call the Freedom. So how many volunteers do you think are with Call the Freedom?
Yeah, right now we have 226 active volunteers.
Whoa, but okay, hold
let
on
me,
a second.
Let me give you a little background. So Call the Freedom is going on our ninth year of being a nonprofit agency that provides supportive services to victims of human trafficking. And when we started, there was no money. And we started out simply with volunteers. And it was really for the first 2 years. And I was a volunteer as well doing that work. But it was volunteers from different capacities really helping us get started. And fast forward to today, we have 27 paid staff that are doing this work. And we would never be at this point if it wasn't for our volunteers, giving their time, resources, people who came in and wrote grants, people who did our administrative front office to individuals who are ambassadors, bringing, you know, pull tabs across the state to now we have individuals who do trainings within public schools because we don't have all those resources to be able to do it with 27 staff, and there's just a huge need. And that's what our volunteers do, is they come in, give their time, talent, and treasure in so many ways, and it's just making a great impact.
See, Becky never ceases to amaze me. I thought it was going to be about 20, maybe 50 volunteers. No, over 200.
Yeah.
Is that unbelievable to you?
I think it just says a lot about the movement, and it says a lot about our community. And we're just humbled that people believe in the mission and want to be a part of it.
What are the typical tests that volunteers do?
Yeah, I touched on a few of them. You know, right now, our big push, we have over 80 volunteers that are ambassadors. You'll hear a little bit more about that program coming up from Sean. And then also one of our latest initiatives is a Speak Up, where we are going into the schools. And so we actually got a curriculum, evidence-based curriculum, that we train volunteers to come alongside our staff and do trainings within the schools to kindergarten through 12th grade. And then we have people who serve on our events committee. We have people who do administrative work. We have people who are on a moving team. You'll hear more about that when Eden talks about that as well. I think really the heart of Call to Freedom, and I really felt like I heard the Lord say, is unite a community. And so many people had such a passion to be involved with this movement, but there was really no tangible way to put their hands to it. And I think that's a great thing about Call to Freedom. As we sit down, we talk about their passion, and we've created new avenues based off people who have walked through our door and their passion and finding a place where they want to fit into the fight and be a part of that community response to combating human trafficking.
Wonderful. Now let's meet some of the people that are in the studio with us right now. And let's see if I can get their names right too. So we have volunteers Matt Kozara with us. We also have Sean DeGroot and the community engagement manager with Call to Freedom, Eden Schausenbeck. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Great.
So Matt, why don't we start with you? Tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from and what you do with Call to Freedom.
Sure. Matt Kozara, I'm the customer relations director at Showplace Cabinetry. Moved here 22 years ago from Pennsylvania. I played professional baseball for a few years and met my wife in South Dakota and fell in love and never left.
Oh, wow. What team? Just curiosity.
I was with the Reds organization and then ended up with the Canaries.
Okay.
So it's a local Canary. Yeah.
Look at that. Okay. Sean, what about you? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, good morning. My Sean DeGroot, and I'm a native of Sioux Falls. I was living in Colorado and returned about 10 years ago. I have my own consulting business in healthcare compliance and first became interested in human trafficking in healthcare, which it actually occurs that way throughout the nation in various pockets. I also am a fused glass artist, and I am thrilled to be involved with this organization and the mission, vision, and values and what we can deliver to the state of South Dakota to improve the lives of those trafficked.
Awesome. And then we also have the community engagement manager, Eden. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello. Thanks for having me. Mm-hmm. I'm Eden. I'm South Dakota born and raised. I just recently moved to Sioux Falls just a few months ago and started up at Call to Freedom. I think it's 2 months ago now.
Oh, my gosh. So like brand new. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
That's awesome. So let's kind of go down the line. Eden, I'll start with you since you have the mic. How did you learn about Call to Freedom?
Yeah, I learned of Call to Freedom in my previous role, actually, the Speak Up curriculum that Becky was just talking about. Mm-hmm. I previously was at a Boys and Girls Club, and we had the Speak Up curriculum in the Boys and Girls Club there. I got connected with the mission of Call to Freedom, and then upon moving to Sioux Falls, it was one of the first places I was looking at becoming involved in, and it just so happened that they had the perfect opening for me.
Ah, there you go. And then, Sean, what about you?
Currently, I serve as an ambassador for Call to Freedom, and we advocate for the mission, vision, and values by putting up posters and pull tabs in restrooms across the state. We have the I-90 corridor, which tends to be the road of choice, so to speak, for two major events in our state. Number one, Sturgis Rally, and pheasant hunting. So I take the posters and the pull tabs and put them on the inside of different restrooms along, you know, Pequannock, Kadoka, Chamberlain, wherever I can find a restroom, and ask permission of the businesses before we post them. And I also take the time, I open up the tab so that the individual, if they're in the restroom, they don't have to sit and try to pull this off quietly in case their trafficker is in the restroom with them. I just think it will help them to just be able to pull it off stick it in their pocket and go. And I think it's made a huge difference where they hear, and Becky, you can correct me, where we get the most calls are from isolated rest stops over, you know, those where there are more people. So I'm hoping that that makes a difference.
Absolutely. And then, Matt, how did you get involved with the Call to Freedom?
Well, for me, it was a kind of a spiritual awakening about 4 years ago, understanding the human trafficking and the magnitude of it throughout the world. And then I just looked at what locally is there and kind of fell upon Call to Freedom. And honestly, my role with Call to Freedom, I look at myself, I'm the utility person. I do whatever they ask, whatever they need, from shopping to moving. Most recently, I did become certified as one of the Speak Up trainers. So I really enjoy working with the kids, looking forward to growing that program throughout the South Dakota.
Absolutely. And we'll talk a little bit more about Speak Up later on as the program continues. We are talking about Call to Freedom, the volunteer side of things here on Sunday Focus, being joined by Matt, Sean, and Eden, and of course, Becky Rasmussen, the CEO and founder of Call to Freedom. Did any of you know what to expect when you first joined Call to Freedom as a volunteer? Either one can start.
No idea what to expect.
No idea.
I mean, just through my own research, understanding what was going on, I knew I had to be a part of the solution. And whatever capacity that the God wanted me to be, that I'm here to serve.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sean, what about you?
Well, when I returned to the state of South Dakota, it was a rude awakening to see that we were fourth per capita in the nation for human trafficking in the U.S. And I just found that appalling, and I thought it was unacceptable. Whatever way, manner, fashion I could get involved to help and make a difference is what I wanted to do as I had more time.
Okay. Eden, what about you?
I had no idea what to expect when I was getting involved with Call to Freedom, but it has been so eye-opening and unbelievable. Getting to work next to such passionate leaders in the community and volunteers, it's been very eye-opening and honestly life-changing for me moving here.
Absolutely. What's something that each of you have learned as you've been volunteering with Call to Freedom?
Something that I learned that is disappointing, and we just briefly talked to Becky about, is the disappointment that individuals that are actually trafficked also end up being arrested. And they are arrested because they're threatened with abuse to their family if they don't comply to their trafficker. So they end up committing a crime to save their own family because they're in a traffic situation, and some don't even know they're being trafficked. They have grown up that way and they don't know any better. That was a huge surprise for me. I always assumed that people were taken away, you know, in high school or runaways, but it is not true. And it's right before our eyes, even within our own city, within our own state. And I just find that to be an unacceptable lifestyle that we can't sit by, and we need to make a difference and help all these individuals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
I think, you know, they have this program that they put on during the summer. It's called Hidden in Plain Sight, which I think speaks greatly to what it is, because there's a lot of things that we just are blind to it until we actually take a vested interest in understanding the magnitude of what's going on. It's hard. I'm not going to lie. I get emotional about it. Because it is hard.
It's okay to get emotional.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about right now?
When I see their faces, when you meet them personally, yeah. That's the hardest part for me. Because it's something that you can't erase.
It changes you.
Absolutely. Sorry.
No, you don't have to be sorry. I think during these segments, Becky, you and I have emphasized that these are not easy conversations.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the most beautiful part of our job at Call to Freedom is to see the resiliency of those that we serve. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The things that they have endured, be it a child, a youth, a woman, or a male. Mm-hmm. There aren't any boundaries or borders to human trafficking. But to see them have an opportunity to embrace the support and how they overcome all of these challenges in their life, and that they're able to move past who they were into a new identity of who they're going to be and what they always dreamed of being. And I think that is a privilege of being involved with Call to Freedom, is that you can help take people in hopeless situations, provide hope, and watch them excel with the resiliency that they so have in them. And hopefully they don't have to look back on what mm-hmm. happened to them. They can look forward and dream and have goals and opportunities to better themselves. And that's what we stand for. As you can hear from our volunteers to our staff, yeah. we're very passionate about this work. And this work is really important. And I think one of the hard parts is sometimes people just have struggled to want to even believe that this happens within South Dakota. But the reality is it does. Mm-hmm. It is happening here. And if there aren't programs like Call to Freedom, volunteers that are coming alongside Call to Freedom, we're not going to reach that, you know, 1%, 10% of those individuals that are stuck in those hidden in plain sight human trafficking situations.
Absolutely. And thank you, volunteers, Matt, Sean, Eden, for what you guys are doing in the community to make those survivors have better days and to show them those brighter days, too, because it's not easy hearing these survivors' stories. It's tough to listen to, but you are making their days a lot better and their futures better, and that's got to be a good feeling.
Yes, it is a good feeling. I think, you know, to Matt's point, we are all passionate about this role, and what bothers me probably the most is they target the vulnerable, you know, the vulnerable, whether it be age, race, you know, gender. They make promises to come to the United States and, you know, mm-hmm. we'll get you this job. And then all of a sudden they're in a semi-truck going across I-90 and end up with a whole different lifestyle than what they thought they would have. And I look at my own children and it just kills me to know that they could have ever been in this situation. And as Becky said, it happens right before our eyes, right in the city and right in the state. And it's very disturbing.
And it takes community members like you guys to want to step up and to want to help these people with Call to Freedom. And Eden, this is where we turn to you, the community engagement manager with Call to Freedom. I want to talk about the programs that the volunteers are with, and especially the Speak Up program. What is that all about?
Yes, and Matt, you can steal the microphone from me if you want to talk about it as well. He's a champion of the program. But Speak Up is a youth training curriculum that we are able to provide for youth from kindergarten to 12th grade in any capacity that we can, go into the schools, go into after-school programs, and just help to teach them things from safe relationships to what it means to have a safe secret or an unsafe secret. And how many schools that we're going to get into hopefully this year? I think the number is 22. Is that correct, Becky? Mm-hmm. 22 schools. So hopefully spreading our wings a lot further and reaching more youth than we ever have before.
Okay.
Yeah, with the Speak Up curriculum, I think the biggest thing is just giving these kids the voice, you know, to use their powerful voice and to be able to stand up and speak out. Mm. And then I always ask them at the end is, now that you guys have been trained, now you have to go out and teach your people that aren't the other kids that aren't here and teach them how to use their voice and identify these situations. And it's okay to talk. It's okay to talk about it.
Yeah. Sometimes when this happens to adults, they don't normally understand. So how do you relate this to kids?
Yeah, I mean, we really need to equip our children to be able to identify what is a safe and unsafe situation, but also that they have a voice to really that inner gut feeling that they have when something doesn't seem right. It's okay not to consent to something. Mm-hmm. It's okay to say no. But when you say no, What does that mean? If somebody keeps pressuring you, that is not a safe person. And so if we can teach our kids and equip our kids, because we can do legislation all day long, we can put legislation on apps and say parents up to the age of 16, you control the apps. But kids, these guys are very good. These perpetrators are very good at what they do. They are master manipulators. And so I think we need to do a combination of prevention and some of these, you know, legislative movements that we're doing to be able to safeguard our kids. But these are skills through Speak Up that the kids are getting that they can carry through the rest of their life. And so this is equipping them to not only make good decisions in bad situations, but equipping them from 5 to 10 to 20 years old to be able to discern that, to hopefully not fall victimized to any type of human trafficking or sextortion or commercial sexual exploitation.
Absolutely. If you're just listening, we are continuing our coverage with Call to Freedom, talking about the volunteers behind Call to Freedom. And that's something that we really don't talk about, is the volunteers with Call to Freedom. So, Eden, going back to the programs for the volunteers, besides Speak Up, what else do they do?
Yeah, there are a bunch of different ways for volunteers to get involved in all different capacities. Whether it's weekly, occasionally, here and there, we have a lot of different programs. We have grocery shoppers and frozen meal preppers. So if they want to go pick up some extra groceries and drop them off to some of our clients, or make some meals for some of our clients to eat, hospitality, so cleaning out apartments or houses for other clients to move into, mentoring, so becoming a mentor for some of our clients and helping them along their journey in a spiritual way, a cultural way, or just in general. We have some administrative and events that Becky touched on a little bit earlier. Handy person and moving team, so helping move our clients into a new location, helping fix up a unit before they get in there. Mm-hmm. And then our ambassador team that Sean and Matt are both a part of is just huge, being an advocate for human trafficking in the state of South Dakota, hanging up pull tabs to spread the word of Call to Freedom and what we can offer to help those that need it. And then also joining our prayer team and praying for Call to Freedom and all that we can provide for our survivors.
So why should anyone consider volunteering with Call to Freedom? Anyone can start.
I can go ahead if you want me to. I think that if you're in the community and you're passionate about making a difference, becoming a volunteer with Call to Freedom is one of the easiest ways for you to make a difference. Like we've talked about over and over, it's in everybody's backyards. It's right here and it's happening in the community. And becoming a volunteer is just, it's such a good way to give back to the community.
As far as being a volunteer, there's nothing better than to see the smiling faces when you get that thank you. And that's all I'm looking for as a volunteer, is just the appreciation of giving thanks, you know, knowing that you're serving for somebody. There's no better feeling than that.
What about you, Sean?
Well, I think the key word here is passion. And I think everybody sitting in this room is passionate mm-hmm. about Call to Freedom, you know, in different ways and different levels. And I think that volunteering is self-fulfilling in a way as well. So it makes a person whole from their heart if, you know, there is a calling for someone and you have a few hours of time. This organization is just full of people that are passionate about the cause and the mission and the vision and the values, the difference we can make for all these people of any age. If you read the statistics, I think it's age 8 to 64 are some of the ages of our trafficked individuals. And I also think that a fact that just was unknown to me, and I keep learning every time I volunteer, I learn more. Mm-hmm. But the fact that parents can traffic their children was something that was a shock to me. So I feel that I get more than I give when I participate with Call to Freedom.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to know too, you guys, I've mentioned it already, are brave to volunteer with Call to Freedom. It can be a little bit nerve-wracking sometimes. You can be a little bit scared. Is that how you felt when you first started to volunteer with Call to Freedom?
For me, no.
Okay.
You know, I guess I look the scripture and put on my armor and ready to go to battle. I mean, and this is, I think, the biggest spiritual battle that we're in as part of humanity.
Yeah.
You know, we're here to serve, and we're all connected as one consciousness. And once we figure that out, I think it'll be a better world.
Yeah. Sean, what about you?
I think one other thought I have is there's a part of me with the fear. I didn't really want to know. I didn't want to know the whole story. I didn't want to know how ugly the stories were, how abusive human beings can be to other human beings is very disturbing. And so it's kind of like facing the music with your own fears. And as I said before, I'm learning more than I'm giving. And I'm hoping that all of us together as a team can make a difference.
Mm. Anything you want to add, Eden?
I agree with what these two said. I think that every single day that I come to work at Call to Freedom, I learn something new. And I just continue to learn every time that I'm here. And I think that even people that have been here for years would say that they learn more. There's just so much happening in our community and with human trafficking. And it can be scary at times and eye-opening, definitely. But it's good to know that we're making a difference and helping those that we can.
Absolutely. Becky, you are over 200 people strong with Call to Freedom.
Oh, yeah. That sounds small, but we're mighty. So let's do this.
Small.
It's not. Okay, good. We want more, Christine. So
yes.
We're good. We would love to get that number to 500, to 600, to 1,000. Because what that means is we're making a greater impact. And our volunteers are just amazing. As you can hear, the passion from Sean and Matt and Eden on being on staff. We're passionate for those that we serve. And our volunteers, I've heard countless times that people see the pull tabs all across the state of South Dakota. And it gives me great pleasure to say those are all volunteers who've come alongside to make sure that we're in every area in South Dakota. And just one scenario with pull tabs, the number of stories we've gotten from people who've pulled, from 7-year-olds who've pulled a tab to adults that have pulled a tab. And I find that if we're not there in those spaces and we don't have volunteers advocating for us to spread that word, we're missing victims. Mm-hmm. We're missing people who need the services of Call to Freedom and also need hope. And so our volunteers are small but mighty. But if you would love to be a part of Call to Freedom's team, we welcome you. And the first point of contact would be going to our website, calltofreedom.org. You can go under our volunteer page and you'll fill out an application. That's our first process. And then Eden, who you've heard from, will actually connect with those individuals and we'll sit down and talk to you. We'll learn about your passion. We'll find out where you want to serve. And once she does that, we'll find out where the need is and plug you in. Obviously, when you mentor or work directly with clients, that looks a longer process because we vet people for safety and making sure it's a good fit for them as well as for our clients as well. So go to calltofreedom.org. We welcome you. We invite you to get involved and we're just excited to see, you know, where this goes and bring us back in like 3 years and see if we double that number. How about that?
Hey, you know what? I will be happy to do that. And I have seen those tabs and the signs, by the way, Sean. I told you not so long ago, it was up in the Sisseton area in the red building, big red building. And I did see those some tabs gone. So it is helping. It is.
And moving. I think that also makes an impact to our community that when they see tabs gone, there's a new realization that maybe this is happening when I didn't think it was. And so we've actually had where all the pull tabs are gone and somebody has actually physically written on the phone number.
Oh, wow.
Some have interpreted in different languages and written on it. So that what prompted us to, you know, put them in Spanish and translate them in Spanish. Mm. And so we're learning as we're all talking, we're learning about this issue. We're learning the dynamic of how deep it goes into how many cultures and how many people it's affecting. And we're responding to that. And I think that's what's important.
Wonderful. You've said it all. Becky Rasmussen, again with the volunteers, Matt Cozara, Sean DeGroot, and the community engagement manager with Call to Freedom, Eden Schausenbach. Thank you guys so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
St. Joseph's Indian School is much more than a school for Native American children. Since 1927, it's provided children the education, health care, and support they need to succeed. Learn more at stjo.org today.
Sunday Focus is a public affairs program of Results Radio Town Square Media, Sioux Falls.